Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Abbey's Road is brought to you by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Abbey's Road with Abbey Laporte, Episode 6, College Visits and Occidental.
This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much.
Hi, welcome to Abbey's Road. I'm Abbey Laporte with a show about teen issues in college for teens, parents, educators, and anyone else who wants to learn more about contemporary issues that young adults are up against. Today we have two guests joining us to talk about the fabled college visit. So first off, gonna switch the cameras. Jeff Calais. Now tell me how to pronounce your name. Sorry.
Calais.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's okay. Correct, Abby.
So Jeff Calais, and he basically, what he does is he works for TargetX.com, and which is a company that helps colleges market to students. So your job specifically is to help with college tours and college visits.
That's correct. I tour colleges for a living.
Great. That's very nice. Fun job. And then
it is a fun job.
And then we have Laura, and you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce your name as well. Tokuza?
That's right.
Tokuza. And she is an admissions counselor at Occidental College. And Occidental College, I'm just going to give a brief synopsis, is a small selective liberal arts school, and it's situated right in the Los Angeles area. It's right near the beach, which is nice. And it kind of has a focus on diversity and research-based learning from what College Board told me. So
that's accurate.
Yeah, exactly. And so you coordinate college fairs, is what it said on Occidental's website. And just help out with admissions. What exactly is your job
there? Well, I also supervise the student tour guides, the student interns, senior interviewers, and I plan our on-campus events, so fall open house and mm-hmm. our spring yield events for admitted students.
Oh, great. So you coordinate a lot of different things that have to do with kind of recruiting students and then getting them enrolled, it sounds like.
Yes.
And the website for Occidental College, because it really is a great school. It's actually on my college list. So kind of a more high pressure interview than normal. But and the website for that is www.oxyoxy.edu. So EDU. So to start off, how about you guys both describe kind of, Laura, you just described what you do. What exactly do you do, Jeff?
Okay. I basically tour colleges. Mm-hmm. They'll hire TargetX and hire me and my colleague Trent Gilbert, and we'll come to campus and we'll audit the visit experience or the tour, okay. The open house. You know, we register online. We look at signage. You know, all the basics: parking, the campus aesthetic, what it looks like, the tour route. But it, you know, and it's about making it better, but ideally, what we try to do is make it authentic, make it fun, and make it memorable for the guests who are coming. Mm-hmm. But we also want to help clients recruit the best fit students and help them use the campus visit to reach their enrollment goals.
Yeah, very nice. And then, so I guess you did basically that for Occidental College.
Yes, I've visited Oxy twice.
Very nice. And Laura, were you there when he did that, or?
I was there for the most recent visit, yes.
Was any of the criticism surprising at all to you, or?
I wouldn't say I could call it surprising, but it was certainly helpful, and it helped us understand how to re-envision the student-led tour.
Yeah. And so just kind of, Jeff, give us an idea of what types of things you might say. Like, for example, what did you say at Occidental?
You know, I mean, Oxy is such... It's a great school, and it is a mm-hmm. beautiful campus. What, Laura, like 250 movies have been filmed there?
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Clueless, Star Trek, Beverly Hills 90210, the college years. Fired Up most recently. You know, it's a beautiful campus, really, really bright students from all over the country. And I think their tour guides do a pretty good job telling stories. And they're, and you know, Laura and the admissions team have really empowered them to to be open and honest. I think with Oxford, we just wanted to make sure they were hitting everything right. And we just kind of considered the route. Where should the tour begin and where should it end? And then one thing in particular is, I don't know if everyone knows, but President Obama did his freshman and sophomore years at Oxy, gave his first political speech there. So we were also talking about how do we weave that into the campus visit? What are the stories behind it and where is it appropriate to do so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so now kind of some history for both of you guys. Did either of you, I think I read somewhere that both of you actually worked in the admissions department at your alma mater when you were in college?
Yes.
Yes, that's
true. Did that affect your decision to go into the business later?
For Laura, me, it definitely did.
Sorry, go ahead, Laura.
For me, it definitely did because I was able to, as a student, interact with professionals and also people who are in high school. And for me, in college, I was so close to that transitory period that I knew that what the professionals were doing was really important. And so I continued to really respect that. And I found it really interesting and just how you can really form personal relations with people and still have a very fulfilling career.
Yeah. And what about you, Jeff? How did that play into your choice of careers?
It was, you know, it's funny. I always ask people, did you plan a career in admissions? But I am shocked the number of admissions directors or admissions counselors that were tour guides. I think it's what Laura said. You do find out this is really important and there, and it is about the right. And I was giving tours as a senior. And then the school got a new president who was a vice president and he said, come do it full time. And I had other job options, but it was the one that was the most appealing to me.
So you actually went directly from being a college tour guide at the school to doing that as a full-time job when you graduated.
Correct.
Is that?
That is correct.
And this is another question for both of you. Kind of higher education, working in higher education is an interesting choice, I find, because you're choosing to stay in something that you've been in for a long time. Why do you guys do that? Is it just human connection or what is the, why have you chosen that as a career? Jeff, go ahead and answer that one.
You know, at the core, Abby, when I go to college campus, the best part of it, besides working with really great professionals like Laura, is the interaction that I get with students.
Yeah.
And the best part of it, is I'll talk to first year students or freshmen, and they're lost in their own special way. And I mean that, you know, completely, you know, they've gone through this daunting task. And they're trying to figure not out just college, but they're also trying to figure out life. And then I'll talk to seniors an hour later. And the difference in those 4 years is absolutely amazing. You know, you see in their eyes that they've learned how to learn. They have a bit more focus. Mm-hmm. The transformative experience that higher ed is really supposed to be is still happening. And that energizes me. And I get it. I believe in it. I do believe in the higher purpose of higher education.
Yeah, that's good. And what about you, Laura?
I think for me, part of what Jeff mentioned, the transformative experience, it may sound cliche, but it's absolutely true. And it was definitely true for my experience. I really became a different person when I came to Oxy, but also because education for me is the greatest gift that my parents ever gave me. And going to private school and a private college, you know, I don't think I could have everything that I have now, have a great job, have great friends if I didn't have it. And so for me, it's really important to share with people that gift. And so people recognize just how wonderful it is.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I'm very excited for college and that's why I've been doing all this because it's just, I think it's a great opportunity and hopefully everyone kind of, I want to make it so that people can see how to do it, even if they don't necessarily have the resources at home. Because, you know, a lot of kids don't. And but anyway, so this is a question for Laura. When you coordinate school fairs, how? So once kids come to visit, you work with them. But then, how do you get kids coming to visit in the first place?
How do we get students to come to our campus?
Yeah, and do a campus visit.
I think that whenever we interact with them anywhere off campus, we really reiterate the importance of seeing the physical campus, but more importantly, meeting our students, because the students are what really make this a vibrant community. And the buildings are beautiful. You know, as Jeff mentioned, we have a great campus and you can see it in some movies, but the way you really experience a college, get a feel for the attitude, is by meeting a professor, seeing a class, talking with some students, and also looking at the advertisements for weekend events, seeing the kinds of things that students want to do so that you can see, is this the type of atmosphere in which I would like to spend the next 4 years of my life?
So you just put a lot of emphasis on that when you're talking to the kids. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. And Jeff, do you ever work with kids, or do you ever work with colleges in terms of how to get kids on campus, or is it just once they're on the campus?
No, it's predominantly once they're on the campus. I think most schools do a pretty good job, Abby, of promoting the campus visit on their website.
Yeah.
I think the campus visit has become a ritual.
Yeah.
You know, families load up and go on these whirlwind tours. You know, the media's written about it. Movies have come out about it recently. And I just want to make sure that colleges put the visit information easy to find for families in explaining what all their options are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point. Another, just a statistic to kind of emphasize this again, is it's on the Target X website, is that I guess it's over half of students say that the most influential, I'm not quoting it directly, but the most influential thing in their choice of college is actually the college visit. And I can say personally that my top two choices for schools both have been chosen because of my visit there. And then a school that was actually my first choice school is completely off my list because the visit did not go well.
But that's why you visit, to find out, is that a good place for you? And so what my colleagues and I really try to stress is to the college, be authentic, connect with the best fit students. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be all things to all people. Know who you are and render a campus visit that really connects with those best fit students.
Yeah. And that was another question I had for both of you, actually, is how do you prepare your tour guides too for the fact that there's going to be kids who aren't necessarily a good fit for the school? What do you do if you see someone who just wouldn't do well there? Do you instruct people to talk to them about it? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. I'll put Laura on the spot and let her start with that. I just want to say, I think a lot of times, sometimes the pressure on tour guides is really intense. You know, you have to know everything about the school and the history, and you get all these crazy questions from parents. I'll let Laura tack that one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, it's tough because it's also none of our places to really say, you know, from such an initial glance, is this student a good fit for Oxy? Because
that's true.
Especially at a school like Oxy that is so incredibly diverse, everybody can kind of fit in and contribute something really unique and really special. I think that we have a very diverse selection of tour guides so that they can interact with different groups of people, engage people on different levels, and just, you know, try and tell people that there are alternatives. So there's no one mainstream culture here. There's no one thing that every student has to do. And so we just tell tour guides, tell people how diverse it is. So even if you aren't an art major or you are not in, you know, athletics or into a sorority, you can talk about your friends who are, and you can just say how there are lots of choices on campus. And so that's the most important thing, that there's choice. So if you don't feel like you fit into, you know, one box on campus, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to fit in somehow.
Yeah. And so basically you don't ever really discourage anyone from trying to go there, which I guess makes sense because you wouldn't want to, you know, it wouldn't be friendly to tell someone that they're not a good fit. And I'm sure anyone could really find a place there too.
I think it's also the tour guide only knows that family based upon an hour or so. And, you know, they might be having a bad day. Could, you know, they could be running late, or mom and dad were having a fight in the car, or, you know, I think it's hard to judge from such a small window.
Yeah.
Right. Or the kid might be introverted. The prospective student might be introverted and the parents are asking all the questions, you know, but the student still might be really bright and it might be a really good fit.
And Jeff, you were mentioning how you get some kind of strange questions sometimes. Would you mind going into examples of some questions either of you have gotten from parents or students?
Yeah. I joke about this all the time. I'm going to be writing a book on the campus visit, and I say I'm going to dedicate a chapter to some of the crazy questions parents have asked. You know, some of it, I don't know if it's necessarily crazy, Abby, but I'm really shocked at the minimal amount of research people do before they fly across the country to go see a school. You know, even if it's not on the, you know, hey, could you at least look up the College Board or look them up on the Princeton Review or basic really stats. Quickly? At a glance, you know, I've been at schools and people were asking just basics that, you know.
How many students?
How many students? And, you know, what sports division are you? Or do you have, you know, underwater gymnastics or something? You know, it's just, I was at Oxy. And what's your student-teacher ratio, Laura? 9-1, something like that?
9-1.
You know, and the tour guide is sitting here, sitting us down in a classroom, talking about all of these great professors and, you know, and how engaging they are and how great the classroom experience at Oxy is. And she came here because she knew she was going to have that, you know, at this really great National Liberal Arts School. And, you know, for about 10 minutes, we're sitting in this classroom talking about how wonderful faculty is and how much you engage with them. Mm-hmm. And a mom raises her hand and says, do your professors record podcast? And I was just kind of like, that's not what Oxy, you know,
like,
here we are recording a podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, Oxy isn't a place where you're going to be in a huge classroom with 300 people and it's all lecture and you're
like
never
you
going to see
it. Need to have. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You got it, Abby. So, you know, and then there's been questions like, where do kids have sex on campus?
How do tour guides respond to that? Do you train them on how to respond to shocking questions?
Let me tell you, this is how I love telling this story. This is, I don't know if I'll, it's a little liberal arts school, great school. And the tour guide was really bright and fast. And the tour guide said, well, I'm not really sure, but I think the chair you're sitting in is how the tour guide answered that. The mom asked us that question. And the dean of admissions and the president loved it because it showed how intelligent and fast these students were and actually gave her extra points. You know, here's what some of these questions are just, I think they're inappropriate. I was just at a school this weekend. And both the doing a campus open house, and some of the questions they were really just kind of either basic information that you should know, or they're not questions that are appropriate for a group.
Yeah,
you know, you can pull the kid, you can pull the tour guide aside and ask that question, but you know, number one, do your research and be considerate. And we were really noticing that I think parents are getting more and more aggressive when they're on campus visit.
It demanding surprised answers. Me when I was there about how aggressive some of the parents were with questions and with kind of engaging in the tour. I don't know. It was a little bit different than I thought it would be.
No, we've been, and I'm sure Laura can attest, if you ask her ambassador or tour guide to ask all the questions, it's parents.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Exactly. And what are some questions that you two would recommend for students to ask that sometimes maybe they forget to ask? And go ahead, Laura, you can start off with that one.
I would say they should just ask the student experience question. So ask what, you know, the biggest challenge, their first week of school, how they liked orientation, how they liked the residence halls, their first year classes, if they felt like they were a part of the campus community or if it took them a while to acclimate to that. You know, there are lots of things you can learn on a website, on the College Board website. There are a ton of research opportunities online. But the things you can't research are these student stories and talking about how a professor really helped one of our tour guides when she didn't think she was doing so well in her physics class, or how a girl, you know, how her roommate really saved her freshman year because she had this strong connection with her. You know, those are the things that you can't research. And that's really the whole point of coming to campus, is to get those wonderful student stories.
Yeah. And Jeff, also, I was reading something on Target X again about how you really do have to emphasize the stories. And I think as a student, I can also attest to that, that for me, going on tours, that was something that really stuck with me almost more than anything else, was not the facilities or like this great pool or this team or whatever. But for example, one kid who was, or the tour guide who was talking about how he got independent study with a teacher, and then that helped him through this whole thing that was going on in his home life and things like that. But so to train the tour guides, this is again for both of you, how do you kind of have them bring up those stories? How do you train them to do something that's kind of very gut rooted? And go ahead, Jeff, you can answer that first.
Okay, and let me go back to add on to what Laura said. It is important that both the parents and the students know what questions to ask and who to ask.
Yeah.
A lot of times, questions are wasted on tour guides that really should be directed to Laura and her colleagues.
Yeah, that's good to know, too.
What percentage of your faculty have in, you know, the physics from the Ivy League, and mm-hmm. what percentage, you know, these really orient admissions driven questions, and you know, and I have actually seen parents ask students how much financial aid they got. I mean, that's like asking someone how much money do you make.
Yeah, that's pretty personal. So
I think Laura really answered that well. Ask the students about student life. And then save those admission-specific, financial aid-specific, program-specific questions, you know, to the folks in that are in admissions that really know them and are going to give you the right answer. For me, I think it's making sure that admissions and the tour guides are in sync and they know what each other is covering. And I think it's really empowering tour guides to have a general route and script. But to really know where to tell those personal stories, to know where to tell, this is my favorite spot on campus, or to give you that insider information about how to navigate the dining hall, or how to get along with your roommate, or those favorite traditions, or those favorite events of yours.
And how can you train them to do that delicately, but personally, too? How do you make them learn that balance? And Laura, you can go ahead with that one.
I think something that makes it easy at first is that when they take pauses at certain buildings, rather than talk about the history of the building, talk about the personality in that building. So when we walk by one of the academic buildings, talk about a class you had there or a professor or a study group. When we walk through the dining hall, talk about the conversations you've had there or how much you love the food. Mm-hmm. When we walk by, you know, our Thorne Hall, which is our main auditorium, talk about, you know, the great guest speaker that you saw, how much fun you had.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you walk through the residence hall, stuff like that. So just, you don't have to, you know, randomly memorize stories. It's, you know, when you think of an area, just talk about how that particular area has influenced you. So like Jeff said, you know, talk about your favorite spot on campus. When you get there, tell them, this is my favorite spot, and this is why it's my favorite spot. So it can be very natural. It doesn't have to feel forced at all, and it can be really informative at the same time.
And so you just kind of tell them how to do that, and then maybe give them examples or something probably, too.
We just tell them to pause.
Yeah. It's also interesting for me because just a quick bit of information. I'm on the admissions team at my school, so I actually interview students, prospective students, and I give tours, and I do kind of repping my school open house type things. So actually this is almost like training for me too, but and you brought up the financial aid question and how that can get personal. Do you have what's the criteria for student tour guides? How do you choose the tour guides?
Well, I advertise in the student online newspaper, and then anyone who wants to apply, I'll let them apply, and I read all of their applications, seeing who is not just a numerical fit, you know, who has a good GPA and a good major, but someone who can write well, who seems to express themselves thoroughly, someone who's had some kind of interesting experience, been engaged somehow. And then I'll whittle those down to some who I want to meet in person and just see how, you know, how they present themselves, if they seem enthusiastic, lively, engaging, personable. Because someone could have, you know, incredible credentials on paper, but not really cut it as a tour guide. So it's tough because sometimes people have great potential, but they may be a little shy in an interview. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes people may not have the best credentials, but they may be, you know, a good representative of the school because they have great enthusiasm and they still have all those great personal stories.
And as a student, when I went to one of my, on one of the tours, I didn't really like the tour guide and I kind of got just a bad vibe in general. And so I'm just wondering in terms of, so you choose these tour guides, but if a student goes on a tour and they don't get a very good vibe from the tour guide, how much should that reflect on, or not even a good or bad vibe, but just, for instance, this girl wasn't someone, it was, she was cool for like her category of person, but I didn't identify with what she was saying. How much should that reflect on the school as opposed to just reflecting on that specific tour guide?
And then, well,
Jeff,
it's funny.
Both of you.
Jeff and I actually specifically dealt with that very particular issue. So it's very funny you bring it up.
I can hear a story behind that.
And the sad thing is that even though there's, you know, we don't want to think that there's any one particular person who can or cannot be a tour guide, it is a reflection of the college because that tour guide is the first student with whom you substantially interact. So that's how you're going to see the college. So even though she is not representative for every single student we have on campus and no one student is, for every student on that tour guide is Oxy. And so it is very important.
And how should, like, for example, should I have not taken that into account as much as I did? Or should I have assumed that maybe she was chosen because she reflected the school? What do you guys think? Go ahead, Jeff. You can take that one.
She, you know, she could have been having a bad day.
But it wasn't negative. It was just a different type of, like,
it was a vibe.
Personality. Yeah.
And let me say, again, that's why you go to visit those campuses. But the word of advice I can give you and other prospective students is, one, research does show, unfortunately, if I don't like my tour guide, you're going to fall off my list or fall further down. That's a lot of pressure on a tour guide and on a school.
Yeah.
Now, that is in part why I recommend to many of our clients, expose me to more students. Have a lobby host. Have a lunch host.
Yeah, that's a...
Maybe halfway through the tour, you should change off tour guides, you know,
or have two,
because
or...
brands are mirrors. Yeah, right. Exactly. But then if, you know, families can't, they need to not just take admissions point of view to the school, you know, go into the student center, go into the coffee house, go to where students are congregating. I have learned at just about every college campus, if you walk up to students and say, hi, we're visiting, can we chat with you? They will.
Yeah.
You know, so you as prospective students just shouldn't, you know, talk to your tour guide. Make time when you get on campus. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt so far. But this brings me to another question. What do both of you think about summer visits, summer campus visits? And how can a student, if you only have a chunk of time during the summer, how do you make that worthwhile? Because for me, talking to students has been one of the most helpful things I've done. So how can I still get a good visit without talking to students except the tour guide? And Laura, go ahead and start off on that one. Then Jeff, you can add on.
That's tough because actually my number one thing that I tell visitors who come during the summer is come back in the fall or the spring because there just aren't as many students there. And I think in those instances, you have to be, you know, particularly inquisitive with your tour guide. You have to ask them all your questions because, you know, our campus will be quieter in the summer. There are some students doing research, but that means that they're in their labs or in the classroom, in the library doing work. So they're not necessarily available and visible throughout the campus. And I think sometimes the only time families have to visit is the summer. And I think a campus visit during the summer is better than no visit at all.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say that they should make every effort to come back to meet the students because, like I've said, the students make the experience. The buildings are beautiful. You want to see that, but it's only half of the visit.
Exactly. Very true. And Jeff, what do you think about that?
I completely agree with Laura. It is unfortunate that a lot of times it is, of course, juniors that are starting the process. And as long as families understand that, that mm-hmm. the students aren't in here or there aren't a large number of them, you know, I always ask tour guides, if heaven forbid something tragic happened to your campus, you know, a fire devastated your campus, an earthquake just wiped out all the buildings, would the essence of this place still exist, the community? And they're like, yeah, as long as we're all together. So, yes, students make a campus. They are the heart and soul of it. They're the livelihood of it, the energy of it. And you will, you won't have that if you visit during the summer. But I totally mm-hmm. agree with Laura. You still need to go and ask the tour guide those questions
yeah.
that are more specific about student life and then plan to go back.
Yeah, very fair answer, although perhaps difficult to follow. But anyway.
Yeah.
And Laura, you brought up research briefly, which I read on unigo.com. I don't know if either of you are familiar with it. One of my favorite resources.
Yes.
And I guess research is an emphasis of Occidental College. And that brings me to another question is, how do you emphasize things that you want kids to really like know about your school? For example, diversity or, you know, intercurricular study or whatever, without overemphasizing them?
I think that's something that we really emphasize in the information session that's led by an admission officer like myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when we mention things that are distinctive about Oxy. So we'll talk to students and their parents about why they would want to apply to Occidental, what the student experience will be like, mm-hmm. and what it'll encompass beyond the curriculum. So beyond taking those four classes a semester, what they can do. And so we want people to have an idea of how multidimensional campuses and how many opportunities there are. So it's not going to be a dull 4 years. There are going to be many academic and non-academic opportunities for students to really grow and expand their horizons.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeff, what about you? How do you tell the tour guides to deal with emphasizing?
Well, I think two things. The first part of that, if you go to visit Occidental, mm-hmm. they have two simple 8.5 by 11 handouts that everyone should read in that 5 minutes while they're waiting before the tour guide shows up, right? You know, and one is about Los Angeles and Occidental in specific, and it's brilliantly written. And then the second one is a simple fact sheet that kind of breaks down not only the statistics, but some of the academic things you were just talking about. And then I think the tour guides themselves, you know, our tour guides, both times I've sat us down in a classroom and kind of just, you know, gave us a brief overview of favorite faculty and then some of their research things and some of those interdisciplinary things that they're going to do. And I think that at Oxy, they find a pretty good balance of both the academics and the student life and what's food like in the dining hall and where do you go out to eat in Eagle Rock and Pasadena and all that stuff. Did that answer your question, Abby?
Yeah, that's great. And then,
okay.
No, that was, yeah. Yeah, no, because also half of these questions are coming from not so good tours and information sessions that I've had. So, for example, that question, a lot of it was propelled by the fact that the girl kept saying, I'm supposed to emphasize this. And then she would say what she was supposed to emphasize. And so, you know, I was just wondering how you guys dealt with that in a more kind of subtle way than doing something so direct. Because
my own personal agenda is admissions should be handling those things in the info sessions and in the interviews.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm an advocate for. Your students should be talking about stories, but those stories are academic. They, you know, you do have that. So a lot of times I'm just trying to say to deans and directors and vice presidents, do not force this script. That's why that tour guide was saying what, because she probably had a 5-page script of everything she was supposed to say with all the bragging points and all that. And, you know, then you don't really end up talking at your guests, not talking with them.
Interaction. Yeah.
You don't have interaction in a conversation. And I think Laura's done a really great job finding a really great balance of that.
Good job, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so another side for students, how much are you influenced as, this is actually specifically for Laura, but when a student comes and takes the tour and does the information session, do you pick out students? How does that affect their admissions possibilities?
I think sometimes we're able to really identify those students who are particularly inquisitive and speak with them and just have a good association in the back of our minds. But the reality is, if I give an information session and there's a student there who is from the state of Washington, mm-hmm. I don't read those files, so I may not get to add that input. But we do keep a track of when students visit us, how many times, capacities. And so, you know, we will know how much interest they've shown in that sense. But, you know, if I happen to meet a student who's from my territory, whether it's mm-hmm. on campus or if I go and visit, students who make positive impressions, it really does stick in my mind, because even though there are so many applications to read, mm-hmm. I always remember those students who made a favorable or a not so favorable impression. And it's always something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
It's kind of the beauty of a holistic process, is that it's much, much more than just the dry facts you see on paper.
Mm-hmm. And so there is go ahead, Jeff.
No, I think Laura's saying admissions is a very human process.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that some students have the idea that it's very not human and very far away and distant and kind of overwhelming. But as you're saying, clearly, you know, you make human connections and then that affects the actual chance of getting in, it sounds like. So, and do either of you work with the interviewers or the interviews at all?
Yes, I am now in charge of our senior interviewers. I just got that a couple weeks ago. And I also conduct interviews.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And then, let's see. So back to the last thing we were just talking about, what can a student do to make a good impression? Is it just being themselves, or do you like it when they ask questions that maybe are really good questions, or how can a student impress an admissions officer? Not to be, you know, searching too hard, but
no, it's definitely both of those, to be yourself and show me your personality, because that's what I'm going to, you know, see will be contributed to our campus community. And there's no one personality that I'm looking for or not looking for, but I definitely appreciate it when a student really utilizes their time with me. And so there's no question that I won't answer, and there's no question that I don't think, you know, a student should ask me, but you know, when they ask, you know, specific questions, something that will really show me that they're interested beyond, you know, a very superficial level, you know, I really remember that. And I really see that that student took the time to do their own research, mm-hmm. to ask a thoughtful question. And I really appreciate that, because it also takes away from the monotony of my travels, because when I'm at schools or college fairs, you know, everyone wants to know the same question, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when someone breaks that up, I love it.
I can imagine that it could get.
Hey, how's your English department, Laura?
Yeah.
How's your English department? You know, someone walks up to the booth. How's your? It's
Yeah. So
great.
Great. Right. I mean.
Yeah. Really good. That's true. And then. So, I forgot my question. So let's see. Tell me about how each of your own colleges were in terms of visits and tours. Were there any really not good parts that you could advise them on now? Jeff, you can go ahead.
When we were searching for schools?
No. Well, that too, actually. But when you were giving the college tours, did you like have a really bad script that you had to read, or what was it like?
Oh, no, I mean, for me, I didn't. I'm old. I'm 46. So this was back in the 80s when I was doing this, and there was no script. And and I don't think the campus visit was in huge numbers. I remember my freshman class when I transferred, but at both schools, I was shocked at the number of students that had never visited school before. I think it's a different it's a completely different admissions landscape from when I was in school. So when we gave tours, there was no script. There was no route.
Wow.
You pretty much asked, it was pretty much what the families were interested in to major in. And if they weren't interested in sports, you didn't show them the arena. And if, you know, they didn't care about chapel, you know. But we didn't have the volume that colleges and universities have today. I mean, Laura, how many, not including your open houses, just the Monday through Friday and Saturday, How many students did you have at Occidental last year?
Oh, gosh, I can't even count. The number increased so much.
Thousands. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, my
thousands,
gosh. That
right?
is kind of
yeah.
it's a so, huge amount. Wow. Definitely. And Laura, what about you? How is that when you were giving college tours? What was it like?
Well, interestingly enough, the tour guide manual that I use as a tour guide is pretty much the same tour guide manual we were mm-hmm. using, of course, with the facts updated every year. Mm-hmm. But I think that, just like Jeff kind of mentioned, our volume of visitors has changed dramatically since even I was a tour guide. And that was only about 7 years ago when I was doing that. And so I think that with those changes, with...
Oh, let's see.
Did we lose her?
I don't know. I can't hear. Laura?
Yes?
Okay. Can you repeat that last sentence? We lost you a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
I think that with the increased number of visitors, we just have to really rethink the tour and rethink the whole purpose of it. And so I think tour guides used to be under the impression, I was under the impression that mm-hmm. I was...
Oh, no.
...talk about my experience, but also talk about, the student enrollment, the classes, the technical mm-hmm. stuff. And so I think that now that we have this extra interest and the questions are so much more keen and, specific mm-hmm. that now my advice to the tour guides is talk about yourself, because they'll get the facts from myself, from my colleagues, but they won't get those current student stories, because I don't think that they're interested in my student stories anymore because they're from, 4 to 8 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. And what are the types of questions that someone should ask during an information session that they shouldn't ask during a tour, or vice versa? I think we covered it a little bit, but maybe more specific. Laura, you can go ahead on that one too.
The technical questions about how to apply for financial aid, about whether or not someone should apply early decision, about mm-hmm. what they should write about in their personal statement, if they should interview, things that are technical, because that's my job. It's mm-hmm. it's our job to counsel students, to talk to them about the process, about the specifics of the college. If mm-hmm. somebody has a question about the overall academic program, those are things that are best asked of a professional. Anything that doesn't involve life, like current yeah. life on campus, that's something that should really be directed towards us.
And should they interview in general?
Some students okay. should interview.
So
I think
it depends
that
on the student, or
definitely. It's a wonderful thing for lots of students because it adds a lot of depth and dimension to their file, and it's great to get to converse with these students, but not mm-hmm. everybody thrives in that kind of an opportunity, and that's perfectly fine. It's why we don't require the interview. So for students who maybe are not talkative, don't like to speak with people with whom they're not very familiar, I would hold back. But if you're someone okay. who wants to share your experience with us, mm-hmm. I love talking with students. It's what really adds more color to every application.
And then another question for Laura, sorry about that, but is you were talking about how, this is the question I forgot earlier, but you were talking about how when you see these students, sometimes they'll stand out to you in a good way or in a bad way, but you can only kind of use that information if they're in your region. So I kind of know some of the logistics. I read The Gatekeepers. I don't know if either of you know the book, mm-hmm. but I read The Gatekeepers. And so I know some of the logistics of how, I guess what they do is they have regional representatives that read the files from each region. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that it?
We divide the country up mm-hmm. And we each read a certain consortium of areas. And
that must
just
be a
to
lot
kind
of files. Wow.
There's a lot of reading done. And just to add to that, if I feel strongly about someone, I'll mm-hmm. just go to my colleague who reads that territory and tell them, or I'll add a note into their file. Okay. So it's not as if that positive interaction will yeah. ever be lost. It won't be my memory serving them on their file. It'll be like my note
like
to
a
inform.
Little, yeah.
Exactly.
So if you have like a great connection with would a tour guide have that same power to do that or not?
Not really. I think that they interact with so many people positively, and they're generally such nice people that they're not going to come back saying negative things about the visitors. It'd be kind of inappropriate.
Okay, so that's not really the role. And then what about the interviewers, the senior interviewers? Do they have that position? I guess they would, because they're actually putting information into the file.
Definitely, yes. They will give us their opinions on the student. And, you know, they're hired for a reason, because we believe they have the ability to speak with students and to gauge their level of interest in Oxy, see if they would contribute nicely to our community. So we definitely value what they have to say, because these conversations for interviews last anywhere between 30 minutes and an hour. And so that's a lot of time that that student has given to us. And we really want to respect that.
Mm-hmm. And so pretty much all the interactions, if there's something that really stands out, will actually be qualified, it sounds like, which is nice to know as a student. Once again, it's kind of reassuring to know that it's not just getting lost in a woodwork of, you know, all these admissions process.
Right.
And then kind of more about the underneath admission stuff. Are there ever things about a school, this is for both of you, that you train tour guides to not talk about? Are there things that you try to kind of keep hidden about a school? And how do you do that? Go ahead, Jeff. Laura, it's fine. Laura, go ahead.
Oh, I don't think we hide things. Mm-hmm. I think we have our students anticipate difficult questions.
Okay.
Because like, they are inevitable. When our president resigned a couple of years ago, we told people, you know, you'll be asked about this. Mm-hmm. Be honest about it. Talk about your experience. But we'll also tell them updates or the way that they can positively view it.
Okay.
So we never want somebody to lie or to conceal anything about the campus, because all of those facts are reality. It's part of the college and it's part of someone's experience. And so we just tell people when to be ready for those tougher questions.
Yeah. And Jeff, how do you deal with that? For instance, if you go to a school and they have like a really high crime rate or something, how do you tell the tour guides or, you know, anyone in the administration, how do you tell them to deal with that?
I think one is, if people ask a question, they deserve an answer, right? They're asking a question. But I think a lot of times the students only have a certain perspective and they have to say, in my perspective, the answer is ask another student. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how's crime? Well, that's somewhat subjective, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to websites and all the statistics are there and all of that. And, you know, I've been to big urban campuses and the kids feel very safe and they've never had a, you know, usually it might be someone in the own community or something, or they left the laptop out and, you know, in the middle of campus or something. So I do agree with Laura. I think we're very much about being real, being authentic. But, you know, that's reality perception. And I think as long as students answer a question, and answer it honestly. But again, you know, I mean, that to me comes back to who should you be asking what questions? You know, admissions knows the statistics on crime on campus and crime in the surrounding area and all of those kind of things. You know, I think the question to me better off is, do you feel safe?
Mm-hmm. And what if a student doesn't? You know, do you tell them not to?
I think that if they don't, they, number one, probably wouldn't be giving tours, or probably because they are a tour guide or ambassador, they're really connected and they're giving feedback back to admissions, to student life and to student leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel safe walking across campus at night. There's going to be a student government, you know, issue on that. You're going to get more lights. You're going to have escort service brought up, you know, all of those type of things.
Yeah.
I've never heard a student say, no, they don't feel safe on the biggest city, most urban campuses.
Well, good. That's good to hear. That's very reassuring. But so basically just, it sounds like the schools are pretty honest about most of the stuff, which could be a little surprising.
I think schools tend to sometimes show only their best buildings because they think that's what parents want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, if I have to see one more rock climbing wall or lazy river, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Because we've been on an amenities arms race in the past few years. But when I ask students, where's your favorite place on campus? You know, when I hear this at Occidental, it's the quad, the fountain, the dining hall. You know, it's always the seemingly random place where they gather with their friends.
Yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and it isn't always the biggest, best, brand new, but we feel because we raise money and build it, we better show it on the tour. I think sometimes there's a little lack of authenticity on those things. And I just help schools correct that.
And if a student is, you know, we've been talking about all these things that can make a really positive, informative, and authentic tour. But what if there's a school that doesn't have all those things going for them and has a really standard tour, but a student's still interested? How could that student, I mean, I guess you'd ask the tour guide specific questions, but are there any tips that either of you have to find the heart of that tour and kind of find the authenticity in that if it's not an authentic tour? Laura, go ahead.
I'll go ahead. Jeff, go ahead. It might not be, let me say this, that might just be because there's one personality in the missions office that is driving the tour to be that way.
Yeah.
But when you meet all the students on campus, they really are very authentic, very genuine, very engaging. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, go into the student center, go into the dining hall, stop mm-hmm. students walking across the campus and talk to them. But for the most part, I think most schools are really trying to render their authentic self, the essence of their place, and connect with best fit students.
Mm-hmm. And then question kind of on a different vein of thought, but for both of you, or first for Laura, how do you deal with, because Occidental is a great school, it's, I guess, the oldest liberal arts school on the West Coast, but in all fairness, it's not the same kind of brand name as, say, an Ivy League or an older, more established school. How do you deal with that? How do you get kids to look past that? Because personally, I know a lot of my friends and a lot of other kids are looking for that, even if they maybe shouldn't be. How do you get kids to go past that?
That's a really good question. And it was something that I definitely dealt with when I was a senior deciding to go to Ox, because none of my friends had heard of Occidental and we lived about 18 miles away from the school, which is actually very common, I think. I think that you just have to tell people that name recognition mm-hmm. is not everything, and that should not be your driving force, because you could go to a top Ivy League, a top state school, have that wonderful name and be completely unhappy.
Yeah.
And if the name, you know, is the only thing holding you back, you really have to reconsider your priorities, because it's about the quality of the experience, not just the prestige behind, you know, Occidental or other schools.
And Jeff, how do you train tour guides to impart that information without directly saying it?
Well, I think the thing is, I always remind them, you know, Einstein said, not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts.
Yeah.
You know, the rankings rank some very specific things. And, you know, and I think that a student who is being genuine and being authentic, it still comes down to, I visited campus and it felt right. College is an intimate product choice. You live there, you sleep there, you eat there. You know, you're buying a part of a culture. And I totally agree with Laura. You're going to get a good education at just about every school. Students need to ask themselves, who do I want to shower with? Yeah. Because it's an intimate product choice. Yeah. You know what I mean? Who do I want to hang out with? Who do I want to have conversations with and argue mm-hmm. politics with? In the dining hall, in my residence hall. And I think most tour guides get that because they just went through it. And when I asked them, why did you choose the school? They all say, because I visited and it felt right.
And then let's see. Do either of you, I know I've heard from a few different people that, well, actually I went specifically, I'll say college names. It's fine. I'm not going to say the one I didn't like. But I went and I did a tour at Scripps, and I met a girl who ended up choosing Scripps, and she's an incoming freshman. And she was telling me that a really big part of her visit, and it's fine if you guys don't work with this, but I think you do, was actually the overnight. And so yes. I know there's this whole thing where what happens, I guess, is admitted students or prospective students do an overnight at the school. Do either of you guys work with that and do that?
Yes, my student interns coordinate the overnight visits, so I coordinate them, so I kind of oversee that system.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, do you work with kids on that? Or
I do, but I want my clients to have a really great day visit and Saturday visit and open house visit first.
Yeah.
And then I want to make sure that they have a great overnight if they're going to do it. But I think that should be more for accepted students, deposited students. I've seen that abused by a lot of students that have a friend there and no admissions will allow them to stay for free in the dorm and give them a couple meal passes. So I think if, in my opinion, if you're further down the line, a lot can go wrong on a campus visit. On an overnight, a lot can go wrong. So I'm about, let's fix the day visit first. And then when we get it right, let's move on to the overnight.
And Laura, would you recommend doing that? How much do you think it helps kids decide on a school?
I think it can help them a lot because a lot of school activity happens after 6 p.m. when people are in the residence halls having intellectual or not intellectual conversations, when they're talking about their frustrations, when they're going to their club meetings. That's really when you get a sense for the vibrant community we have here on campus, because it's wonderful to go to classes. It's great to get a sense of that, but you'll really get to know students when they're in the dining hall. So I think that for those small differences, you know, that'll make the difference for everyday life for you. You know, do you like the facilities? Do you like the situation? Do people seem to be enjoying themselves? Are these the type of students that you want to live with? Is this someone who you want to be your neighbor for the next 4 years? That can really help you when you're making those difficult decisions once you've been admitted.
Yeah. And what else do you do to help encourage students to enroll once they're admitted?
We have yield events in April on Fridays where we have students come, and we have some panels with administrators and students, but we also really encourage them to go to classes so they can see the academic setting, meet the professors, experience a discussion-based course. And those are really where we try and convince students of, you know, whether or not Oxy will be for them. You know, do you enjoy our campus? Do you enjoy the facilities? But do you also enjoy the people who make the campus?
Yeah. And then just a last question, kind of for both of you, what is the main thing that you want people, or that you want students especially, to realize after this hour of conversation, and something they really need to remember to do when they're on a campus visit, or something they need to take advantage of when they're there? Go ahead, Jeff, you can start with that one.
Okay. Do your research, you know, spend 5 minutes before you go to that school and do your research more robustly. So you don't cram too many schools in on a road trip, because you're not doing yourself justice and you're not doing that campus justice. You know, I know families fly, you know, from the East Coast, and they'll, we got to go to Panoma, Oxy, USC, UCLA, all in one day. That's not, you know, I need you to spend a little bit more time on campus. And then, you know, drive around all of campus that you're going to see. Take a look at the community and have an idea of your questions before you get on campus.
And Laura, what about you?
Very similar to Jeff's advice, I would say before you go on any of these visits, sit down and think about the real questions that you have about anything, about the climate, about the facilities, about the food, about sororities. Think about everything that you want to know about the day-to-day life, not just about the buildings, not just about the history, things that you won't be able to research online. And don't feel embarrassed and don't neglect any of those details, because if it means something to you, if it'll impact your day-to-day life, you have to figure that out and you have to ask those questions.
Great.
And if I can add one last thing, bring a camera and take pictures. Because everyone says all schools begin to look alike. And how do you remember everything if you're not documenting? Right. They do. But you need to take pictures of the things you like, the things you don't like. So it will, when you, and then, you know, take a look at all of them and you'll remember things.
Good. Well, wonderful advice. Thank you so much both for joining me on the show. The college process can be a very difficult and very confusing thing. I have learned this. Campus tours can be kind of overwhelming. They can tend to look the same. So these are just some tips for everyone looking at all these different schools. It's very important to keep in mind all these things, personal questions, asking kids about stories. Anyway, so thank you so much. For both you guys and anyone watching, you can find this recorded on iTunes. It will be edited and recorded. And then you can also find it. This is now playing live at twit.tv. You can email me at abby@twit.tv. And both of you feel free to email me. I don't know why you would, but just questions or whatever. And if either of you want to give out contact information, you can. If not, that's fine too. So neither of you do. That's fine.
No. Oh, you can just Google me and okay. All of my Jeff Kalay, K-A-L-L-A-Y, and all of my Target X contact information will be up. And I'm always happy to talk to prospective students of, you know, about their campus visit. Any tips or advice?
And I highly recommend students look at targetx.com. There's actually some cool articles. It's technically it's made for the colleges, but I thought it was really interesting as a student to read. And then also check out Occidental. It's a really great school. I will be applying. I don't know. I'm Northern California area. I don't know if you'll be reading my thing. You don't have to put a sticker on.
I actually will be. I'll be visiting parts of Northern California too, okay. I think. So cool. No pressure.
Yeah, no big deal.
Oh, and if anyone wants to contact me, they're welcome to do that as well. Okay. They can just email admission@ox.edu and I'll see it.
Okay. So yeah, and it's a great school. I would check that out. Thank you so much for watching. This is Abby's Road and I'll see you next week.